across the country and around the world, this is TalkZone.com, the best in Internet talk radio.
It's time for the Race Report.
Get ready. Get ready.
Your full-speed hour of NASCAR news and talk.
You know, we didn't have much of a choice because we thought we were going to blow up.
Here are your hosts, Steve Barker.
I'm the best there is. Nobody can hang with my stuff.
And Sam Atwell.
You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine.
Ready to talk NASCAR on the Race Report.
This is where we normally have the finish of the previous week's race, but since there was no previous week's race, welcome to the Race Report. I'm Steve Barker.
And I'm Sam Atwell.
Sprint Cup Series back at it this weekend, though, on the high banks of Bristol for the first short track action of the season. So let's talk some NASCAR on the Race Report.
Now with a look at this week's NASCAR news, here's Steve with the racing headlines.
The Sprint Cup Series is coming off its first off weekend of the season, and after four races already, some surprises to be found in and out of the top 12. And Jeff Gordon's resurgence, not a huge shock. He has three top 10 finishes, two of those second place runs, and he leads Clint Bowyer in the standings by 43 points. Coming off his first win of the year, Kurt Busch sits third in points after not making the chase two of the last three seasons. And again, yeah, that's Kurt Busch.
Who?
Brian Vickers and David Ruderman hold down the last two spots in the top 12. Of course, neither driver has ever qualified for the chase. Easily biggest surprise on the other end of the success spectrum after four events, Ryan Newman, Joey Logano, and Mark Martin. Newman sits 32nd in the standings in his first season with Stuart Haas Racing. Logano, maybe the most hyped rookie since Dale Earnhardt Jr., has struggled, sits 33rd. And no driver's season has been more of a nightmare to this point than Martin's. In his highly publicized return to full-time racing, Mark has had two engine failures and a crash and is currently mired in 34th place with one race to go until the guaranteed starting spots will be based on the top 35 in this year's point standings. Those guys have some work to do. This week, the series returns for the first short track event of the season, Bristol Motor Speedway. Kurt Busch has five career victories in Thunder Valley, but none since the track was repaved in 2007. In fact, he has only one top 10 finish on the new surface. On the other hand, Carl Edwards has done pretty well with the new layout. Edwards has won two of the three events since the track got its facelift, including the race last fall. Jeff Burton won this race a year ago. Green flag for the Food City 500 scheduled for about 2:15 Eastern time on Fox. And those are the racing headlines on the Race Report. Coming up on this edition of the Race Report, we will take a close look at the point standings and see who's looking good and who's looking for some answers. We will revisit something we talked about at this point last year. How important is it to be in chase position already? More important than you may think. And the high banks of Bristol aren't so high anymore. Kurt Busch used to dominate, but not so much. Since he repaved the track, we'll hear his thoughts on why Bristol just isn't as tough as it used to be. And that's made it tougher for him. We will preview the Food City 500. That's all coming up when we come back on the Race Report.
If it happens on the track or off, Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
And welcome back to the Race Report. Steve Parker along with Sam Atwell. How'd you enjoy your off week?
Very nice.
I thought it sucked.
Very nice. I
didn't like it.
I was, you know what? I was probably depressed. Got to thinking. Turned on the TV about 4 o'clock looking for the start of the race.
Yeah, about 4 o'clock. Yeah, 4 or 5 o'clock when the race has been starting lately.
Nothing
At least here in the central time zone, yeah, there was nothing. You just get going. You just really get revved up and you're ready to roll, and then no race.
You know, and we've talked about this for years and years. They race four races, take a week off, and then, in the tail end of the season, they race, 47 in a row without a weekend off.
Not doing that this year. They are getting an off day. Second half of the season, which they've not had in a long time. So, and in past years, they've raced just a couple of races and taken a week off. So, I guess better this week. I thought we'd take the opportunity after the first break, go ahead and run down where your favorite driver currently sits in the point standings after four big weeks. And your points leader after a couple of runner-up finishes is Jeff Gordon, 43 over second place Clint Bowyer. Kurt Busch is in third place. Fourth is Carl Edwards. Fifth is Matt Kenseth, who won the first two races of the year, of course. Tony Stewart sits sixth. Seventh is Kyle Busch. Kevin Harvick in eighth place. Ninth, Casey Kane. Greg Biffle is 10th. Brian Bickerstaff. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep rolling.
Well, you just want to do them all.
I'll just do the top 12. I'll do the Chase guys. Greg Biffle is 10th. Paul distracted me out there. He's doing something. Greg Biffle is 10th, if I haven't said that already three times. Brian Bickers, 11th. And 12th is David Ruderman.
13th is three-time champ Jimmy Johnson. 14th, Denny Hamlin. 15th, Jeff Burton. 16th, dropping like a rock, Michael Waltrip. Elliott Sadler, 17th. Jamie McMurray, 18th. 19th, Martin Truex Jr. 20th, A.J. Allmendinger.
21st is Juan Montoya. David Reagan is 22nd. He'll be in the chase. Don't worry.
He's killing me.
23rd, Bobby Labonte. 24th, Dale Earnhardt
Jr. He's
killing me, too. 25th, Casey Mears. David Stremme is 26th. 27th is Reed Sorensen. Marcus Ambrose, 28th. Robbie Gordon, 29th. John Andretti is 30th.
Sam Hornish Jr., 31st. 32nd, Ryan Newman.
That's where it gets interesting.
33rd, Joey Logano. 34th, Mark Martin.
And in that all-important 35th place,
Eric Almirola. David Gilliland, 36th. Scott Speed, 37th. Paul Menard, 38th. 39th, Regan Smith, 40th. Travis Quappel.
And Bill Elliott. Yeah, that's where we're going to stop anyway. Because really,
the rest of it doesn't matter.
35. Yeah, you're getting into guys who haven't even started but a couple of races. So.
63rd, Boris Said.
Wow, really?
He dropped 12 after the last race.
Yeah, he's actually, they've got Mike Skinner in 64th. He doesn't even have a start. It's pretty hard to be very
He doesn't have a start, and yet he's made $21,000 in the Sprint Cup Series. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Let's take your car and show up and be one of the starting Parkers.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting, Sam, that you can bring that up. How in the world does that happen?
I don't know.
We're looking here at NASCAR.com, and they have guys who haven't even made any starts yet, and they've won money.
I want some of that.
How do you do that? You have Dexter Bean. Who the heck? I've never even heard of Dexter Bean. Dexter Bean, he's actually in better position than Mike Skinner. He's only 61st.
Derek Cope.
But he hasn't made any money.
Derek Cope.
Derek Cope has made $21,000. I want $21,000 for doing nothing. I've made as many Nextel. Talk about dropping back to the past. I've made as many Sprint Cup starts as Mike Skinner and Boris said, and I don't have any $21,000 to show
for it. We need an in-depth team investigative coverage of this and see what's going on.
How do you do that?
I have no idea.
I understand that there are, they talk about the start and park guys, take the green flag, but that would mean you have a start. Even if you run one lap, park it, and collect the start money.
See, I think we need to do that. Because you've driven a cup car.
Yeah.
And you were, by all accounts, pretty... Okay.
I thought I was real studly, actually. Huh? It was awesome.
I mean, you're still here,
That's by my account. I don't remember anybody else saying that.
But
I thought I was
incredible. If we could get a car together and just go out and run a couple laps and retire because of driver error or something.
I think probably there'd be a lot of driver error.
Could you see that in the standings where they put out why the car is parked? Driver error.
I think that would be probably. The only thing I can think of. These guys did run in the dual 150s at Daytona.
Is that what
they must have won money for that?
Wow.
That's the only thing I can think of. Because you have Sterling Marlin on here, who is in the same place. He's actually, I guess they go alphabetically at this point. I don't know. So Sterling Marlin is in there, but he's at zero. Zero starts in zero money. Dexter Bean, whoever he is.
Well, how did he even get on there? He didn't win any money.
I don't know.
He must have really sucked.
David Starr, who, of course, we know from the Camping World Truck Series.
Right.
His name is on there. Yeah, I mean, how do you even get on the list if you haven't done anything?
I have no idea.
But the guys that have won $21,000, let's see, look at the guy, Tony Raines, Mike Wallace is in there, Jeffrey Bodine, Carl Long, Kirk Shelmerdine. These are guys I'm pretty sure that all ran in one of the 150s. At Daytona, they must have won money.
That had to be where it was.
Had to be what it is.
It just looks funny.
It does.
You know, NASCAR's
no starts, but $21,000 in winnings.
Not a bad economy for those guys.
Yeah, they've won nothing. They haven't even started the race, and yet they have $21,000 in winnings.
Wow.
Interesting. Well, of course, all the news, about as you look at the point standings after four races, and we'll get into this a little bit later on, is a lot more. Is not only the guys that are in, the guys that are out. Right now, as we touched on with the headlines, there are some big-name drivers that are in danger of having to qualify on speed here if they don't pick it up and have a good result this week at Bristol.
Yeah, that's got to be. There's a lot of pressure on three teams in my mind, and we talked about those: Joey Logano, Ryan Newman, and more importantly, Mark Martin.
Mark Martin.
Now, I didn't pick him to be a contender, But it wasn't for reasons I didn't want to see it happen this way.
Yeah.
He's just had just the worst kind of luck of any driver this season.
Two blown engines and a crash in the first four races, and has him in 34th place in the standings.
He's in, but more importantly, he's 35th in owner's points.
Yeah. So, I mean, you certainly look at that, only four races, and you're thinking, come on, guys, we're only four races in. But
that is a deep, deep hole.
It's a deep hole, and it's tough. As we've seen in the past, and we talked about this a lot last year when Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson were both outside the top 12 at this point in the season, that even though they both rebounded and made the chase, and, of course, Jimmy won his third straight championship, it is tough to put yourself behind the eight ball like this early in the season. You are digging out. A couple of years ago, Casey Kane, coming off his six-win season, looked like, you know, certainly a championship contender. I think we both picked him to win it that year, as many people did, you know, and it didn't work out, and it's because he got off to a bad start, and it never did turn around for them. They never were able to pull it back together, and the season just continued to spiral downward for them. So Mark Martin's got to turn it around, and he's got to turn it around this week. Even though he did pick it up a little bit the last couple of weeks, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is still down in 24th place. So forget about him as far as the top 35, but obviously his goal is to make the chase and contend for the championship. He's a long ways from that. So we'll look a little closer at this when we come back. So thanks for joining us here on the Race Report.
If you want NASCAR talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Race Report.
And welcome back to the Race Report. Steve Parker along with Sam Atwell talking about the off weekend. So I'm so back in race mode now that we're always talking about the previous week's race. We had no exciting race finish at the top of the show because there was nothing last week. Just a week off. Just a quiet week off. And didn't even have the Nationwide Series to fill it in. They've taken 2 weeks off. What's wrong with those crazy guys?
It was just to have all three series. You know, we're used to the Truck Series. They start and then they don't race for another month and a half.
Yeah.
But, you know, have all three series off is just, I don't know.
I don't remember the last time the Nationwide Series took 2 weeks in a row off. But
it's kind of bad.
I mean, did that.
A boring.
It was tough. Yeah. It was tough. Got back into racing, got all excited and get going, and then
just
and take a week off. And then coming up, we'll have another off weekend coming up on Easter. So early next month, there'll be another dark, dreary weekend with no racing. Anyway, we've been talking a lot about the point standings, the current point standings, and who's in, who's in trouble. And, of course, it's still very early. It's still extremely early. Only four races in, so 22 races to go before the chase cutoff to set the field for the chase for the Cup, the top 12 drivers that will race for the championship in 2009. But, you know, we've seen in the past, we talked a lot about this last year, that kind of have trends than in the previous years of the chase, and I don't have these stats right in front of me, but I know it's a vast majority of the drivers that made the chase since they started it back in 2004 were in, for first few years, top 10, last couple of years the top 12, but were in chase position after 4 weeks.
Yeah,
it's important to get off to a good start.
We spent a lot of time last year talking about that because I disagreed with whoever wrote that article, and I don't remember who it was now, because the premise was, you know, at that point in time, Gordon and Johnson were sitting outside the top 12, and his premise was, well, you know, it's over. They're not going to be in the chase. And I disagreed, and I was right, thank you very much, because they were. But it is. You cannot get into the position that Mark Martin is in and, you know, forget about the chase for him. This is about being in the top 35 just to get in the spot in the race.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if Mark Martin had to qualify on speed every week, he would be in the race.
He'll still get in. Yeah, I'm not too worried about that.
That puts more pressure on this team that doesn't need any more pressure at this point in time. Ryan Newman, what a difference of two teams that are both owned by Tony Stewart.
And you know what it points to, and it's something we could probably talk about maybe at a different time, but and we'll hear from Tony Stewart a little bit later on, though. They've been a bit of a surprise to some people, you know, not to me. Tony Stewart, you know, and I've went after him a lot for some of the stuff that he's done outside the race car, and there's no doubt that he's deserved some heat for that. His, you know, his escapades, you know, punching people and knocking recorders out of reporters' hands and things like that are well documented. But I still think this may be the most talented guy to ever grip a steering wheel.
Well, and when we made our picks for the top 12, you probably not as much as I did, wrestled with whether to put him in there or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I put him in my top 12 just based on sheer driving talent, because I really doubted that this team could come together as quickly as they have as a brand new team, a brand new crew chief. I think he's carrying tons of weight on his shoulders.
You hit on me on something that may be key here as well and may be overlooked a little bit at this point. Again, I will qualify this by saying I do believe Tony Stewart's probably the most talented driver maybe we've ever seen, and I think going today. But his crew chief, Darian Grubb, remember when he was at Hendrick Motorsports, was the car chief for the 48 team, and he stepped in for Chad Knaus, and all they did was win the Daytona 500 and the following week's race as well. Or I think it was maybe the second, two of the first three, I think it was, something like that now, a couple of years ago. But so Darian Grubb has proved that he is maybe a pretty capable crew chief as well, and I think maybe that could be the big difference between these two teams. Number one, I think Tony Stewart's a more talented driver than Ryan Newman, but by a lot, no, I don't think so. But maybe the crew chief, the chemistry with Darian Grubb, his crew chief, is coming together much more quickly for Tony than it is for Ryan and his crew chief. Because, yeah, same team, same resources, you'd think, probably sharing a lot of information. Tony Stewart's gotten off to the good start. Ryan is struggling.
Well, and I don't know, and we've seen this in the past with guys who, Ryan Newman is educated. He's an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I wonder, we saw this with Rusty Wallace towards the end of his career. Rusty Wallace being too involved in car setups and this and that and other things other than focusing on driving. And I'm wondering if that might be a situation with Ryan Newman, overthinking things and not concentrating on driving the car. Leave the car setups and everything to the crew chief and the team. You just go out and drive that car. Because Ryan Newman knows how to drive. He knows how to qualify.
Absolutely.
Put together a car for him. And I think the results will be different. I just wonder if Ryan Newman is not focused totally 100% on driving the car.
See, and I think, and that's what we've talked about before, and that was a lot of my basis for putting Tony Stewart in my preseason top 12, is, and the reason you struggled with it, I think, so much, is you just didn't know if Tony would be able to separate himself from all the ownership duties and everything
that's
that
exactly
goes along
right.
with that. Could he maintain that focus in the race car? And I put him in the top 12 because I think maybe more than just about anybody else out there, there's nobody more focused once they're strapped into that race car. And that may be the thing. You know, yeah, maybe Ryan does think too hard about this and that he doesn't need to worry about. But as far as getting in and focusing on driving, I don't know that there's anybody out there that's got more laser beam focus than Tony Stewart once he's inside that car.
You know, I put so much emphasis in this sport on the driver-crew chief relationship. It would be coming in, this would be a great example for you and I, coming in here next Friday or Saturday or whenever we do this show and having somebody brand new behind that glass that we don't know what they're thinking. Well, we don't know what Paul's thinking most of the time. But somebody in there that we don't know and we've worked together long enough, we anticipate things. It's just like that. And Tony Stewart has proven me that they have done that. He's put the ownership issues aside and good for him. I'm happy for him.
Could we try the new partner thing, though? I might like it better. Back with more on the Race Report.
That happens on the track or off. Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
And welcome back to the Race Report. Thanks for joining us here on your radio. And, of course, you can always check us out on your computer at racereportradio.com.
Every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, someone is there. Someone is there because we care.
Usually you.
We need to meet the need for news, for NASCAR news. It's there.
Well,
kind of sparse this week, but we are there. It's a lot of fun. Go check out the blogs. I spout off there, and you can tell me if you agree or disagree.
You'll disagree, probably. If you have good sense at all, you'll disagree. You know, we've been talking a lot about, anyway, racereportradio.com. Do check it out. A lot of good stuff there. You knew it was bad when I went on one of the main websites, NASCAR News websites, and the top story was, Snickers returns to the 18. Kyle
Busch
is going to run the Snickers paint scheme
awesome.
Again. So, yeah, that was riveting. I almost called you to tell you that was on. Sam, did you see this?
Oh, man.
But
can't wait.
I was surprised you didn't call me. Sam works at a TV station. That's his day job. And he gets a lot of the breaking news really, really early.
He'll call me with
big stuff, but he didn't call me about the Snickers paint scheme return. Yeah, I was pretty disappointed that I missed out on that.
I'm sorry I let you down once again.
All right. But anyway, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the off week, coming off the off week and after four races that, you know, there are teams that need to refocus and, you know, teams that are feeling pretty good about themselves. Kevin Harvick was asked about it going into the off weekend, and he says, yeah, for him, he doesn't really need it, but he can understand how some teams might want it.
Once I get going, I like to keep going. You know, I'd rather just race 35 weeks and be done with it. But, you know, there's a lot of times you get in a situation where you just you get behind and things are not going good or whatever the case may be, and that off week is kind of a sense of relief. So there's a number of different ways that you can look at it. I've been on both sides of that fence, and, you know, the beginning of the year is a mad rush to get everything going and get back in the swing of things. But I don't think an off weekend is bad by any means, for sure.
Off weekend is probably pretty good for guys that are struggling so far and need to refocus. You know, I thought it would be interesting, Sam, to go back and look as we talk about how important is the first four-race stretch to get going and how does that set you up for chase position. Really kind of flying in the face, I think, a little bit of the point I was trying to make, that it often historically has been very critical to be in chase position after four races if you want to stay there. I was looking, and there were actually several guys a year ago at this time after four races that were not in the top 12 that ultimately ended up being there, not just Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon. Run down the point standings from 1 year ago after race four, which was Atlanta last year as well. Kyle Busch, points leader, we know how he did. Greg Biffle, Kevin Harvick. Then in fourth place a year ago, Ryan Newman. He did not make the chase, of course. He didn't stay there. Then you have Jeff Burton, Dale Earnhardt Jr. They both made the chase. Casey Kane was in seventh place. Now, he was in contention right up until pretty much race 26, but ultimately he missed the chase. Tony Stewart was in eighth place a year ago. Then you have two guys that missed the chase. Actually, three guys next that missed the chase. Brian Vickers, Kurt Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. Now, Truex had one of the classic collapses last year. He was in chase position and then had a miserable stretch that knocked him out. So hopefully nobody will have that happen to them. And then Matt Kenseth was in 12th place a year ago. Outside the top 12 after four races a year ago, Jimmy Johnson. He was in 13th place, almost right to the point, the same position that he is in this year. It was very close even on points.
Be very scared.
Bobby Labonte was 14th. Jeff Gordon was in 15th place. But, of course, he ended up making the top 12. Then, also out of the top 12 and not in good shape, Clint Bowyer was 16th a year ago at this time, and he had jumped eight spots the previous week just to get up to there. Carl Edwards was in 17th place a season ago. Then you had Mark Martin, who, of course, was just part-time last year.
However, wait, on Carl Edwards, though, he was a victim of he lost points.
That's right.
After the cheating
scandal. You're right. That's right. So
that's what took that hurt him.
He would have been, because he was 232 points behind. So if you give him those 100 points back, he would have been in the top 12 solidly. So that's a good point. I had forgotten about that after Las Vegas last year, the oil tank lid issue. So that's what dropped Carl to 17. But still, he was there.
He ended up
in chase contention, of course. Denny Hamlin in 19th place a year ago. He ended up making the chase, but he was the lowest placed driver. That's as deep. That was the
19th.
Furthest back. He was 19th after four races. He ended up making the chase. That's a whole lot better than Mark Martin sitting 34th right now, or Ryan Newman sitting 32nd, or even Dale Earnhardt Jr. sitting 24th after four races. So, again, good start, not critical, but still pretty important. So what was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 of the 12 were in chase position after four races last year. 7 of the 12 that ended up making it. So,
well, see, here's the problem.
Not overwhelming.
Here is the problem that bad times seem to breed bad times. And when you're in this position, and like you said, 19th was the lowest place driver that made it into the chase, it just builds on itself, and it seemingly the hole gets deeper and deeper. Now, there have been guys who have made awesome runs to get into the top 12. Matt Kenseth comes to mind.
Back in 05.
He made an awesome run to get into the chase. But it doesn't happen very often, and I'm just... These three guys, or four guys, have another bad week at Bristol. And Mark Martin has just not had a whole lot of success recently at Bristol. Ryan Newman is, you know, off and on at Bristol. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is kind of off and on at Bristol. Man, if they have another bad week, man, it just doesn't look good for those teams.
Yeah, you're right. They've got to turn it around. They need to turn it around now, and it could be difficult to do it coming up on a track that can be pretty tough on these guys. So, yeah, you need to turn it around now. But, yeah, it's been done before. Again, just going by last year, just over half the drivers that were that made the chase were in that top 12 after four races. So there were several guys that jumped back in there after maybe less than stellar starts. But historically, it's been good to be in chase position after 4 weeks. All right, stick around. Coming back with more when we return on the Race Report.
You can almost smell the hot oil and burnt rubber through the radio. Or maybe that's just Steve and Sam. You found the Race Report.
And welcome back to the Race Report. Of course, I know you were with us on our preseason show when Sam and I gave you our picks for the top 12. And I'm sure you bet a lot of money on it, you know, as long as you did that legally,
I'm
of course.
Sorry.
And then we're
very, very ready
to cash in at the end. Oh, no, I think we're still right on the money. Maybe not. You have those in front of you, our fearless picks, our fearless prognostications, and how do we sit there?
And a nice color-coded chart, no less.
That is lovely. That's very
that
good artwork, yeah. One of your kids must have did that, huh?
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, they did because it's on a computer. It might have been in crayon.
Where do we sit, Mr. Atwell, after four races on our picks?
All right, for you, your picks. The number correct in the top 12 is 7. Mm-hmm. 7 of your picks from the preseason are in the top 12. 8 of mine are in the top 12.
Well, obviously, this is a flawed formula.
Yeah, right. Let's see. Who's killing me? Dale Earnhardt Jr.
He's in my top 12, too.
David Reagan.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Jimmy Johnson will be in the top 12. He's 13th.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't worry about him.
He will be there. Jeff Burton has hurt me a little bit. He's in 15th. He's moving in the right direction.
Yeah. I don't have Jeff Burton in my top 12.
Let's see. Who's killing you?
That.
Let's see. Oh, Mark Martin. Ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
34th in points. Not headed in the right direction.
No, he's not.
Let's see, David Reagan.
And I don't have him. And I will say, I love Mark Martin and have a lot of faith in him still as a driver, but I think, as we've talked about, I think he's dug too big a hole. I just don't think he can do it. Even with 22 races to go, I think Mark's done. As far as making the chase, I think he will come back and have some good finishes. I think he could win a couple of races this year, but I just think this start is going to be too much to overcome for them.
I didn't pick him. I just didn't feel the love for him. I didn't want to see it happen this way. I wanted my point to be proven, and my point is, Mark, it's time to go away. It's time to retire for good. Don't come back. No more returns. Just go do what you're going to do in retirement. But I didn't want to see it happen this way. But I just didn't see him being a contender like you and other people. Lots of other people did.
I still think the man can do it. I do. I mean, he's gotten off to this start. And again, I will say now, I don't think they can recover from it. I hope they can. I hope they're the big story of the second half of the season, that he's resurgent and is able to overcome this horrible start. But I think that hole is too big. I mean, we talked about Denny Hamlin last year was the deepest in the field to make the chase. He was 19th after four races. That's a long way from 34th. That's a lot of guys to have to climb over. Talking about Jimmy Johnson outside the chase position right now in 13th, almost exactly to the point where he was a year ago. And Jimmy says there are some differences between this year's team and last year's team with the slow start.
From my standpoint, we just need to hit our stride. And the one thing that we didn't have last year was fast race cars. We had great stops and hit our stride strategy. I wasn't making mistakes. I mean, we were ready, but the car wasn't. This year, the car is more than ready, and we've been making mistakes. You know, I was looking for the walk-off home run last weekend, and big swing and a miss, and had it stuffed in the fence. So it's just about getting that right mindset and just being in the rhythm and clicking things off.
Interesting that he says that the car's ready. Maybe the team isn't.
Well,
and, I mean, this is a team we have sung their praises over and over again about how flawless they are, machine-like. I mean, these guys and the driver, the crew chief and the driver especially, the crew chief won't tolerate mistakes from himself or anybody else. And this is a driver that rarely makes mistakes, and that really cost them so far this year.
He's made mental errors. He's made errors on pit road that are uncharacteristic of this team. And it's something we've talked about before. The other Hendrick team, the 24 team, Jeff Gordon, mistakes on pit road are things he doesn't make.
When we were talking a couple of weeks ago, and when was do you ever remember him getting called for speeding on
never.
Pit road? I don't remember that ever happening.
Ever. I don't remember him sitting on an air hose in his pit stall.
I do remember that happening.
When was that?
That happened, I want to say 07.
Was that?
At Darlington.
Darlington,
a race
right,
that he would have won. No, actually, all the way back to 04. When he probably would have won the championship had that not happened. But
they got
an air hose at Darlington.
That's right.
And they didn't get a penalty, but they had to push the car back off of it, and that cost them enough spots that he didn't win that race had he won it, which he would have. He had the best car. So, I mean, they have made mistakes like that I can remember, but not the real boneheaded ones like speeding on pit road that some drivers just seem to do all the time.
But don't fear. Chad Knaus will get this lined out and get it worked out, this team is going to be a contender. I don't care where they're at right now. They will be a contender.
It's like North Carolina losing to the 16 seed in the NCAA tournament. You know, tie it into what else is going on in sports right now, of course. You know, and well, it didn't happen. North Carolina destroyed their opening round opponent. But, you know, yeah, it could happen, but it ain't
going to.
Not
likely.
But it ain't going to.
Not likely.
You know, the 48 team could keep making mistakes and miss the chase, but forget it.
Ain't happening. They're in 13th. They moved up six positions last race. They'll be in the top 12 at the end of this weekend.
You know, they're going to a track, and we will. That's coming up next, so stick with us. We're going to take the break here in just a second. Next segment, we will preview next week's Food City 500 at Bristol. But Bristol's not been a track.
It's not one of his better
tracks. Jimmy Johnson has done well. He's never won there and has struggled there at times. In spite of the fact he does so well at Martinsville, the other half-mile short track, Bristol's been a different story for him, a place where he has had a rough time. And we'll see if he can turn it around this week and maybe get himself back in the top 12 right now. And that's what we will do when we will come. When we come back, we will take a look at the Food City 500, who to look for up front there, who's our pick to win, and of course, we will get that race weekend weather forecast from our race report meteorologist, Dan Holliday. All that coming up when we come back and wrap up the race report.
On NASCAR Talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Race Report.
And welcome back to the Race Report. Wrapping it up with you. But before we do wrap it up, we, of course, will always preview the upcoming race. And, of course, a big part of that is getting that race weekend weather forecast. It's going to rain. It's going to mess it up. We're going to have rain delays, anything like that. Let's check and find out. Here's our race report meteorologist, Dan Holliday.
Hey, guys. A strong storm system is headed into the middle part of the country, but the good news is this. It won't arrive until early next week. So ahead of it, we expect some beautiful weather, and that's going to be great for Sunday's race in Tennessee. At the green flag in Bristol, mostly sunny, 60 degrees. And by the end of the race, temperatures should rise to about 63. Wind won't be a factor. It'll be light from the south at around 5 miles per hour. That's the race report weather for Bristol. I'm meteorologist Dan Holliday.
All right, and Kurt Busch used to just dominate Bristol. In one stretch from 2002 to 2004, he won 4 out of 5 races there. And he has won 5 in his career, but none since they repaved the track prior to the fall race in 2007. In fact, since his last win back in 06, Kurt has only won top 10 finish, and he talks about the changes at Bristol with the new surface. He's not a big fan.
I haven't had the success since they have resurfaced it, and I believe it's the fact that it's not so cut and dry anymore. You had to race the bottom. You had to be on the bottom, and that's where you had to get your car to set up and work well. Now you can roam around anywhere on that racetrack. It still has some small things that are Bristol, but yet it's not as tough and it's not as mean as it used to be. And so maybe I just need to relax a little bit more on the driving style there.
And as we mentioned early on in the show, Carl Edwards has taken hold of the new surface very well. He won the first race there, the night race back in 07, and he won the race, fall race last year. Jeff Burton won this race a year ago. I'm not going to go for a Jeff Burton repeat. I don't know. But, you know, again, this is a completely different Bristol. We've talked about it.
I don't like it.
I don't either. I don't like it as much as the old surface. It's not banked nearly as steep as it used to be. It is wider. There's supposed to be more. It's got the variable banking like it's become popular now. But it just doesn't.
It's not Bristol.
It just doesn't seem like Bristol. And we said that right from the first race, that fall race back in 07, the first race on the new surface. It just, and maybe that's what Kurt Busch is talking about it. You had to be on the bottom. You had to be down there. So all 43 drivers are fighting for that low groove to try and get around. Now, because you can move up and down the racetrack, you think that would make the racing better. But at Bristol, it really hasn't.
It doesn't. And the new car at Bristol, I don't know. I like the old Bristol. That's all I'm going to say. You used to see guys pull into victory lane with the whole front end of the car torn off and just beat up and steam, you know. I remember Terry Labonte pulling into victory lane at Bristol with steam coming out of the radiator.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, this new car just, I don't know. I'm just frustrated with, Bristol's one of my favorite races of the season.
Yeah.
And they've taken some of the edge off of it. And it's, I don't know.
It just doesn't have the same feel that it did before. The racing's just not like it was, and I think Kurt Busch touched on it. It's the fact that you can move around on the racetrack. Now you don't have to fight for that bottom groove, and that's what made it so exciting before.
They've made this new car almost too indestructible. We've seen them beat on each other with this new car at Bristol, and nothing happens, and I don't like that. I'm just...
Well, Kyle Busch has won at Bristol, but again, only two drivers have won on the three races of the new configuration. Carl Edwards has won two of those. Jeff Burton won a year ago, but Kyle Busch and Carl Edwards were kind of battling last fall for it. Kyle Busch has done well at Bristol. Of course, Jeff Gordon historically has been good there, but again, it is a bit of a different racetrack. So what do you think heading into Thunder Valley this week for the Food City 500? Who's your pick?
Well, I'm going to pick Jeff Gordon for the first time this season. I really think this team is on a roll. He's wanted Bristol in the past. I think it's time to get the winless streak over. Get it past you.
You might be interested to know, who has and you probably have seen this, so you probably do know, who has scored the most points in the last 10 races at Bristol?
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. has. He has one win in that stretch. He may make a move this week and get himself back in better position. I look for Jr. to have a good run. They need a good run. But I'm thinking like you, and we didn't talk about this before the
show.
I'm going to go with Jeff Gordon, too. I think, and we'll find out if he qualifies, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him qualify up front, and they have really been running well. They look to be the class of the field right now at this point early in the season, and I think that winless streak comes to an end this week as well. So we'll see. Be sure and join us next time. We'll wrap up all the race action from Bristol, and if you just can't wait another week to hear us on the radio, be sure and check out racereportradio.com. All your NASCAR news right there. Thanks for joining us here. Have a great week.
Good job, guys. Woo! All you guys done a heck of a job.